In many ways today, we have many wrong views of praise that are being presented by various forms of Christianity. I think it's important that we have the right perspective on praise. Tonight we're just going to look at two simple truths that will guide us into the correct thinking in the area of praise. And hopefully it'll be helpful not only to guard us from the wrong kinds of praise, but also be instructive in our own lives that we will have hearts that have overflowing praise, the right kind of praise to the Lord. I'd like to begin just by reading the first two verses of this psalm. The title there, to the chief musician upon Muthlaban, a psalm of David. Now the word there, Muthlaban, I don't know if anybody knows exactly what that is, but there's been some idea, the meaning of the phrase from what some have said is the death of a son. Some people say it could have been after the death of Goliath and the victory that David had there. I think I read one place where it said, well, maybe it's having to do with the tune that was used in this case. But as we read through this psalm, we do see that there is victory here that David is expressing, but we find that the psalm is not absent of any conflict, though, as well, in David's life. And as we look at this psalm, there are notes of victory, but we find that as well in the Christian life, there are struggles. There are hardships that are faced, but we find that in the end, the believer is victorious. It says here in the first two verses, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And the first truth I'd like to look at is the focus of praise. Notice the focus of praise here in these first two verses. First of all, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord. We see that the focus of praise is on the Lord. It's not on the person offering the praise, but the focus is on the one that is being praised. Notice what else it says. It says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You know, as people enter various churches today, what are they awed by as they enter that building or as they leave that building? You know, in 1 Corinthians, we find that one that's unsaved entered the building, and what do they leave thinking? Of a truth, God is in that place. You know, as an unbeliever enters Mequonago Baptist Church, is God being magnified in such a way that people would say, you know what, God is there? But unfortunately, I think in many churches today, it's man that is being uplifted. The focus is on the performer rather than on the one that should be being praised. And we find the focus of our praise must be on God. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Notice what it says in verse 2. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. It says, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And again, notice the focus even on that last phrase, O thou most high. Most high is focusing here on God's supremacy in his status and in his power. You know, there's three areas that I see here, the focus of praise as it focuses in on God. First area is his works. As we pray, as we focus our praise on the Lord, his works will be magnified. It says there in the second half of the first verse, it says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. As we praise God, one of the areas of focus will be on what God is doing, on what God has done. The children of Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, what did they do? They sang a new song. All right, and the focus of that song was what God had just done. This marvelous work in parting the Red Sea with the Egyptian army sinking. You can read through there and read some of the descriptive words that show the power of God and His marvelous works in doing that. You know, praising God and showing forth His marvelous works is important in raising your family. Notice if you turn over to Psalm number 78. You know, in your home, it's important to have the right attitude of praise towards God to see the next generation turn out for God. You know, it's not just an option, it's not just a good thing to do, but it's vitally necessary to seeing the next generation live for God. Notice what it says in verse number 4. All right, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His what? His wonderful works that He hath done." All right, so notice that. We're going to show them to the generation to come. Now, is your home filled with praise to the Lord? You know, that's why it's so important to be in the right church. Because if that church is not magnifying God, is not magnifying His works, children are not going to set their hope in God. It says here in verse 5, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." It's important that we magnify, as we magnify God, as we focus our praise on Him, that His works are magnified in our lives. You know, how much would people be drawn to God through what you say? How much would they be drawn to God? You know, the psalmist said, "I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart." He says, "I will show forth all Thy marvelous works." Now, this wasn't just a private thing. You say, well, for me, praise is just a private thing. Well, he says, "I will show forth." You know, is praise natural speech? Praise about the Lord, is that natural speech to your mouth? Then secondly, I'd like us to see here, the second area is that His character will be exalted. It says here in verse number 2, He says, "I will be glad and rejoice in Thee." Notice that, "I will be glad and rejoice in Thee." You know, believers ought to have a different attitude of life than the world. You know, if we go about with a grumpy, glum, you know, doom and gloom attitude, everything's terrible. Well, what are we saying about God's character? All right, we're saying that we serve a bad God. We're saying that we serve a God that doesn't treat us with goodness when we walk about and everything is doom and gloom. But the psalmist here says, "I will be glad and rejoice in what? In Thee." God was somebody who, as He dwelt upon who He was, as He dwelt upon His character, it brought rejoicing to His heart. Later on in the Psalms, He mentions, as He's praising God, He mentions some of His character. In verse number 7, He says, "But the Lord shall endure forever." So even in this psalm, we see some of these aspects being brought out. The Lord shall endure forever. All right, so He's emphasizing here His character. Verse number 8, "And He shall judge the world in righteousness." All right, He's emphasizing the righteous actions of God. "He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." You know, you think of our society. You know, there's a lot of unfairness in our society. You know, I think the media likes to magnify that in maybe the wrong way, though. But as believers, we ought to be focusing in on the fact that, you know what, we serve a God that is perfectly righteous. That every one of the decisions that he makes is completely just and fair. And we need to be careful in our lives that we are not presenting God as one who is a God that makes unfair decisions or choices in life. But the psalmist said, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. He recognized that God was perfectly just in all of his actions. In verse 4, he says, for thou hast maintained my right in my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Our praise ought to focus on the character of God. And then notice in verse number 9 what he says. He says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. I mean, this also maybe focuses on his works, but it also shows the character of God. He is a refuge to the oppressed. He is watching out for those that are in need. What a good God that we serve. You know, would people want an application question here? Would people want to know your God based on your attitude of life? You know, praise is not just about what we say, but it is also about our demeanor, our countenance, our attitude of life. The psalmist here had an attitude of rejoicing. You know, it says there in Philippians, First Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore. Philippians, you know, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. As we dwell upon the good God that we serve, there ought to be a rejoicing that just goes through every aspect of our being. But thirdly, we say not only will his character, as we focus our praise on the Lord, not only will his character be exalted, but we find that his name will be lifted up. It says here in verse number, in the second verse, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. As we focus our praise on God, his name is going to be uplifted. And again, I think it ties into his character. His name really is a reflection of his character. Does our life give a good name to God? Or does it give a bad name? You know, if you ever had somebody, maybe you were babysitting somebody. You know, those kids that you're babysitting can give maybe a good name to their parents, or they can give maybe a bad name. Now, obviously, we know, you know, sometimes young people have issues, and you can't base everything a young person does and have a reflection on their parents. But, you know, I think we understand that our actions can reflect on our name and who we are. And as Christians, what kind of a name are we giving to God? As we praise him, it ought to uplift his name. It ought to magnify his name. And the psalmist said, I will sing praise to thy name. After the psalmist was done praising God, people were going to have a great appreciation for who God was. You know, you think of in Psalm number 40, you know, as he talks about the new song that he was going to sing, he says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It was something, yes, there was a righteous fear, but there was something that drew them to God. You know, and after people are around us, do they want to know more about God? Or would they rather say, you know, boy, I really wouldn't want their God to be my God. There ought to be an attitude of life that would draw people to God. So we see the focus of praise. I think we also need to be careful with modern inventions whose purpose is to focus on the individual and enhance the experience of the listener. You know, you think of a lot of the mega churches, and what's it all about? It's all about the experience of the listener. When a praise is not about the listener. All right, praise is about God. It's about accurately reflecting. It's about singing to Him. It's about Him being pleased with what we are offering. And so much today is focused so much on the performer. So much today is focused on the person that's hearing it and how they're responding to it, rather than the one that the praise is being offered to. But secondly, let's look at the people of praise. You know, if you're somebody tonight that doesn't have a heart that is filled with praise, then you need to look into your life and say, you know what, something's wrong with my life tonight if I can't praise the Lord. You know, if you can't, you know, sometimes, you know, we can come to a singing service, a song service, and it might be harder to praise the Lord in that service. But sometimes we need to make the choice and say, you know what, I'm going to praise the Lord. But we may need to sit back, and even as the song says, you know, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Sometimes there's adjustments that need to be made in our life if we're going to be able to offer God the praise that He is due. So notice the people of praise in this psalmist. Notice the character of the one who is praising God. In verses number 4 and 8. In verse number 4 it says, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Alright, so here the psalmist was one who was living a just life, a righteous life. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Verse number 8. It says, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The psalmist was clearly placing himself on God's side, on the side of righteousness. You know, if we're people that are living a righteous life, we are going to have opportunity to praise God. But you know what? If you're living on the side of doing what's wrong, you're not going to experience that goodness of God like those that are living before Him in righteousness. And instead, as you go through the psalm, you can see, especially at the end, the judgment that comes upon those that have placed themselves on the side of the enemy. In verse number 5, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. So it's the righteous are the people of praise. Secondly, notice verse number 10. It says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. All right, simply put, believers are going to have opportunity to praise God. Those that are exercising faith, the more that you know God, the more you will praise Him. It says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. You know, it says in another verse, Psalm, it says, oh, taste and what? See that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, when we take steps of faith in our lives, what does it create? It creates opportunities to see who work. To see God work. And when we see God work, what do we have? Opportunities to praise Him. You know what it says here? They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The more you seek after God, the more you know God, the better you'll understand Him, and the more opportunity in your life, the more opportunities you'll have to praise Him. But if we're not seeking after Him, if we're not taking those steps of faith, we're not going to have things really. I mean, obviously there's plenty to praise Him about. You just read the Bible. All right, but there are going to be situations in our life where we're going to see God at work. And there are going to be opportunities to praise Him. And as we praise God, what does it do? It magnifies Him. Now, if you're around somebody that's talking about, maybe let's just take a simple example. You know, it's just something from everyday life. You know, maybe you experienced, something, whether it's a food, whether it's a restaurant, and you really enjoyed your experience there. And I mean, let's say it's a restaurant, they treated you royally and you had hot food and it was a good price. What are you going to do? You're going to tell other people about it, aren't you? All right. And as God works in our life, as we see His goodness, we're going to tell others and it's going to what? Draw other people to Him. You know, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. So believers, you know, if we haven't taken steps of faith in our life, then we may not have those opportunities of praise. But then thirdly, we see it's the humble. It says in verse number 12, he says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. I think, you know, if you look, go into Revelation, it says, how long, O Lord, true and righteous, will not, you know, revenge the blood of the saints? And then you go to Revelation chapter 16, and God remembers. All right, and the blood of the saints is, you know, he remembers it. All right. But then notice what it says here in verse number 12. He says the end of the verse, he says, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. You know, and the idea of humble could also have the idea of the afflicted. You know, when we're in that low state of life, we cry out to God for help. For mercy. What does it do? It creates an opportunity for God to work. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. In verse number 2, remember what it said. It said, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou what? O thou most high. Those that have the right view of God, of Him on His throne, the highest in the heavens, are the ones that are praising Him. Notice the last verse of the psalm. It says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the what? That the nations may know themselves to be but men. You know, you think of our country today and all the people that are lifting up themselves. They think, you know, they think they can control the climate. They think they control the weather. They think they can, you know, they want to control maybe everything in your life. They think they have an answer to every problem of man. They think if they throw enough money at something, they're going to make people safe. They're going to make people happy. And what do they need to, how much are those people praising God? Not at all, are they really? And where do they need, to be brought in the position of humility. Realizing that they're but men and God is the one that's on the throne. And you know, tonight, are we people of praise? If not, it might mean you need a dose of humility in your life. It might mean you need to take some steps of faith. It might mean that, you know what, you need to place yourself on God's side, on the side of the righteous, so you can see His blessing and His working on your behalf. You know, praise is such a powerful medium to expose others to who our God is. Are we using it as believers? You know, our God deserves our praise. And what an amazing fact that God would want us as these lowly human beings to offer Him praise. What an opportunity we have. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that You would help us, Lord, to see Your greatness and Your goodness in our lives. And Lord, there are many hardships that can take place, but Lord, in the midst of those hardships, May we remember that you do not forget, Lord, the cry of the humble. Lord, and in the midst of those times, may we remember your goodness. And Lord, tonight, I know how easy it is, Lord, to not offer the praise that we should. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would be motivated in a new and a fresh way. Lord, to use our mouths, to use our countenance, to use our interactions with others, to show forth your beauty and your goodness. And Lord, even as we worship you as a congregation, Lord, may our hearts be filled with praise. May our hearts be overflowing with your goodness. Lord, that others would be drawn to you and would see your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.